This is the National Public Broadcast of Imam Wadeen Muhammad, Muslim leader.
We shouldn't be just individually situated. We have to be collectively situated. Yes. Human life that connects us to each other. That connects us to each other. So after perceiving the model, the type that God wants for us to respect and build upon and grow, then we need to see how we are to tie in to one another. So God gives us family life. We cannot be born unless we accept to be family. You have to have two, male and female, a male and female, to reproduce the life again. And none of us can create Adam and Eve for the first time. None of us. So it's kind of a mystery how it all came about. Because we know that you need two to have another. To have three, you need two, male and female. So again, I repeat, it's a mystery how the two came about to produce their offspring. But God tells us, He gives us a story of how it all happened. But He says He did it. And we know we can't do it. Infant life. Every child born is born with this great value. It hasn't been lost. Isn't that something? No matter what human beings do alone or as a collective body, a group, tribe, family, tribe, nation, whatever, they have not been able to get rid of that original pattern of a human life. Every child born is born in the mold that God intended for it to have. It's born with innocence. It's not a criminal. No child is born criminal. The great history of criminology in this country established that no child, no person should be treated as a born criminal. They learn to be criminal. They are not born criminal. At one time, there was a question in the history of law in this country, criminology. At one time, there was a doubt, and they were saying that maybe we can sterilize these notorious criminals. And maybe that will reduce the amount of criminals and crimes we'd have, since they would not be reproducing themselves. But the healthy-minded scientists, they ruled that out. They said, no, no child is born criminal. They all are born innocent. But that's what religion has established already. Religion established that from the very beginning, that every human child is born innocent in the mold created by God for it. When your babies come, all of you have that experience. If you haven't had children, you've been in the house and you have seen and observed the infants, the little children. The infant comes here with none of the serious problems that our society has now. And I don't have to name those problems for you. We are saved time. You know them. But we start right away, as soon as the baby comes to us and gets in the mama's arm, we start right away trying to shape the baby the way we want it to be shaped. The baby come here real curious, serious, curious. And we say, little baby, little sweetie, little sweetie. We want a plaything. We want a plaything. Let my little dolly, dolly, listen, little dolly, dolly, sweetie, sweetie. And after a while, the baby removes that serious look and say, hell, this is funny. And start smiling. You ain't through yet. You want more than a smile. You got to hear a laugh. And baby stop. So you brought that out of the baby. The baby came in a marvelous creation, opened his eyes and ears to a marvelous creation of God. And the baby was serious. But you brought, you tickled the tickle spot. You found the tickle spot and you worked on it until you got the baby interested in funny stuff. So what does the story of religion tell us? The story of the great religions tell us that God created human beings to be an intellect, intelligent, to open their minds to the whole vast creation, all that is on earth and in the skies, and search it. Look at it. And search it for messages and inspiration. Yes. But God has made human life like He made all life, and that is to avoid pain and suffering and seek comfort and security. So in time, this life that wants comfort and security, it dictates to the brain. It dictates to the brain. The brain becomes the servant. The original life becomes servant of the life that manifests later. And those who can manage pleasure, they always go further than those who cannot manage pleasure. So Allah, the God, the Creator, He has given us a nature that drives us to seek that fulfills our need for pleasure. And we're left free, wonderful God, having the power to make us a tree, a stone, whatever, but He made us human. Making us human, He made us free to choose for ourselves, to have free choices. So those who choose pleasures are going to have a life of ups and downs, of wins and losses, of pleasure and pain, until they finally discover or hear the words of the preacher who's really connected to God's truth, until they finally discover that the only way to fulfill the pleasure appetite in the human life is to connect with Creator, connect with God, connect with Creator, and then you will have what you need to manage your pleasure principle. Yes. That's the key. So all of us are born with the same human intelligence, same brain, same human intelligence. But you know, God gives us many parables in the scripture. See, if the man who sows his seed, if he throws the seed on a rock, there'll be no life for it. But if he sows his seed in fertile ground, there's life. There's life for it. So the circumstances has to be there. The conditions has to be right. The circumstances has to favor human life. And look how this country has progressed. African Americans and many others, minorities in this country, and even those who were ruling class. Look at the price they had to pay to bring about the circumstances for life, human life, to grow and flourish. For the brain, number one, the intellect, intellectual curiosities, to have the freedom to grow and produce in this country. Look at the price that they had to pay. Look how North fought North, South, and South fought North. Look at the price was paid in blood, in life, human life. But look where we are now. So there was established a definition of human life and the great value that is inherent, born in every one of us that are in America. That was established. And that respect, that perception and respect for human life survived all of the troubles. Greed, petty differences, racism, and other problems had to be confronted. But the faith, the belief that the leaders, the framers of the Constitution, the idea had, was so great, and they had reached so many citizens, that life was strong enough to outlive and overcome the bad lives that were threatening that life. We come here with the same human heart. And the human heart is nothing but a symbol, like, it's a symbol. Symbol of our appetites, our affections, our attachments. But our core appetite, our love for things, our love for ourselves even. So the heart, if it's not anchored properly, if it's not rooted in that is eternal, in that survives all trouble, all corruption, eventually the heart can be defeated too. And we are so weak in our hearts. A man's brain is never stronger than his heart. His spirit may be, but his brain is not. And the proof of that is PhD multiplied by 10 or 1,000 PhDs. And old Switching Sadie can bring him down off his throne and have him out there with the winos. And he'd be telling them, yeah, I'm a doctor. But he won't have the strength to leave the winos and go back upstairs where he used to live. So don't pay these things cheap. These are signs from God. They are signs from our Creator who made us, that you need something bigger than your brain. You need something that your brain wants to serve. to keep your brain and keep your heart. I repeat, to keep your brain and keep your heart in good relationship with one another. Yes, if you get the right authority over your brain, your heart will love it. You know what a woman really thinks little of? A man who boasts in brain power and has no heart power. Now that's something she can't stand. You know, even if she's turned on flesh to flesh, you know, it's just something she want to hurry up and get through with. So God revealed to his servants that he himself inspired. They discovered that behind this universe, this material existence we have, there is an artist, a planner with a plan for human life. And they connected with their God, their creator, and then they were able to follow his communication that directed them to devotional nature and devotional life. God says in our holy book, there is nothing for a human person without them striving or struggling for it. And what they strive or struggle for will soon produce itself in the eyes of the people. When we understand human value, we appreciate human value, and we want human rights. Human rights are the rights to be treated as a human being. A human being in the correct definition. The definition that we have after hearing what God has to say about what he did or what he created. Community life is what all of us need in order to come to life. You can't come to life unless there's community life. Studies have been made of human persons that somehow got separated from human beings and lived in the wilds with animals. When they discovered or found these human persons, they were behaving like the animals that they were in close proximity with, and most likely monkeys. The animal, in one case, a dog. The animals that they were in close proximity with. If it was a dog, they barked like dogs. They made sounds of dog. Human being, running makes sound of dog. If they're around apes and monkeys, human being, running like ape or monkey makes sound of monkey. So that tells us that this life we call human life is a life that requires long period of time together with each other. Males and females producing their children and living with each other. It requires a long time for them to experience life, surviving with their life, surviving upon the efforts concerns of each other. And in time, they develop language. They develop knowledge of their nature, their behavior, how they behave, how to behave to continue to live, and how not to behave. How to behave and how not to behave. They learn this in time. And they record it. It becomes tradition, becomes wisdom, tradition, etc. So human life is a product of learning. It's not like bird life, dog life, pigeon life, horse life. It's not like that. They come here with their life. They have their life pattern. They have their behavioral pattern already fixed. So they come here with it. But the human being has been created to learn his life. To live until he study enough and learn his own life. It's in him. And he's going to try to live it, express it in certain surroundings. And in time, he's going to learn how he should best relate to the things all about him, around him, even the sky and earth and everything, weather and everything. He has to learn that. And his learning process is endless. We are evolving now, mentally, spiritually, morally, into a higher creation. The human beings on this earth in time will be much superior to what we are right now. I'm not preaching. I'm sharing knowledge with you. Yes. So human rights must continue, especially in the communities that haven't developed, the communities that are still in their infancy or in the womb of their mother. Communities, I'm speaking symbolically, but you can follow it, that have not developed, they're still in the wombs of the mothers, or their infants can't fend for themselves. Those communities must continue to pursue human rights. Don't you know the greatest of all human rights was taken away from your people, your foreparents, when your foreparents were brought to America from Africa and put on the plantations and kept in slavery? That denied our life the freedom to exercise community life, or the rights of community, the rights of community, not even the rights of family. For many slaves, for most of them, I have to say, for most of them, the rights of family was taken away from them. They were bred like animals. This is not to bring bad things to your mind. This is to come forward to the present time. Community life is fait accompli. And the soul will never be pleased. You may be happy up here having fun, just like you can change that little infant's nature and make him care more about fun than about serious matters by tickling him and playing with him so much. Yes. Community life is what your soul hungers for. We have great stars in the African-American people. great stars, males and females, great achievers, great achievers, and great men and women, period. They are not just achievers, but they are charitable. They contribute to the good life and the progress of the American people. And they go to the aid of the suffering, and they help the suffering with their monies. I'm not going to name a single one. By name, I won't give you a single one. But I'm proud to say that this is a new day for us, for individual achievement. We have wonderful achievers in these United States of America. Individuals. And the burden, the biggest burden on those great achievers is the state of African-American soul, the state of African-American spirit, the state of African-American morals, the state of African-American's intelligence. All the precious aspects of human life are very much absent when we look at the whole people. We only can see the beautiful, precious material, human material, when we look at individuals. Few individuals, not many. And most likely we have to go to serious churches, to serious religious places to find them. Yes? Not all of them are religious. Some of them have been so disappointed with even their religious life, or with the religious life that they identify with, that they have just given up on religion. Do you know Muhammad the Prophet gave up on religion? The religion that was in his country, or in the peninsula where he was born, called now the Peninsula of Arabia, Saudi Arabia, it offered him nothing that he could accept and respect. Not from religion. He rejected, he stayed away from the religions of his people. So, and God said of him before he was made God's servant and messenger, God said of him that he was certainly seen as a great character, established upon great character. That's what God said of him. Now he came to this great human character without religion. He wasn't accepting any religion. Don't you find people in America today, and they've been in America for all the life of America, who say, no, I don't have much care. The religion is too much of a problem for me. But they have devoted themselves to excellence. To excellence. Excellent human life, excellent profession, excellent life in the world of professions. They have devoted themselves to excellence, and as a result, they have kept their human excellence, and they are standing too in the beautiful human model of the best character. Oh, he's playing down religion. Religion without understanding can send you to the mental hospital.
Be sure to join us next time for the National Public Broadcast of W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman. For more on the ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, call 1-708-798-6750. All right, Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For W. Dean Publications, call 1-708-862-7733. All right, Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.